Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Well, I welcome you once again to our third week of our Faith in Action series, The Universe is Calling. And I realize when we hear that statement or that phrase, part of us may ask, what is the universe calling us for? What does God want? What does the force want? And if we're not in a good mood, we may ask, why are you bothering me now? We may particularly want an answer to those questions when we're going through a challenging situation. For example, a global pandemic. And I think in those situations, you may be saying, I know that God never gives us more than we can handle. But sometimes I think God's opinion of us is a bit too high. In my own life, you may have asked, if I've asked, God, what do you want? Well, let me tell you, God wants one thing, to be known and revealed. That's what God wants. People are walking around thinking, what does God want? Why is the universe calling me? What should I do? All of this kind of stuff and faulty notions of the spirit that we may have. But when we understand God wants to be known and revealed and expressed through our thoughts, through our word, through our actions, and we recognize that and we realize that since God is absolute good and everywhere present, omniactive, as I like to say, we are here to reveal the all good of this force, of the universe. And so today's topic is, let God be God as you. You know, since prayer is the connecting link with the presence, prayer is an important tool for communion or common union with this universal energy. You know, there were three clergy one day that were discussing what were the best positions for prayer. And at the same time, there was a gentleman there who happened to be a telephone repairman. He was kind of just observing what was going on. And the first person said, it's kneeling. First clergyman, that's definitely the best way. And the second one, a preacher said, well, the best results are with your hands outstretched to the heavens. And the third one said, both of you are wrong. The most effective prayer position is lying down, face down on the floor. And the telephone repairman who was listening couldn't contain himself, and he said, hey, the best prayer I ever did was when I was hanging upside down from a telephone pole. I'm sure that was a heartfelt prayer. As I like to say, prayer is incomplete, is an incomplete connection without a heart connection. And we've been noting in this series, our prayer position is really not what's important. We quoted the master teacher Jesus when he said, when we pray, we must pray believing that ye have, that you may receive. And we've been calling this scientific prayer, it's a scientific methodology of communion that we may receive, we may be transformed. He said, pray believing that you may have. And this is to come into alignment of that which is the unchanging good of this energy we call the force. For this common union to happen, we have to release and let go. Most want to change and hold on to the known and still be transformed in their life. But understand, we tap into the expanding good when we let go of who we thought we were or who we think we or what we think we know. Part of letting go is unlearning. Indeed, sometimes I've referred to this community that we're part of as an institute of higher unlearning, because we have come to unlearn all the thought forms and points of view, perceptions, and things that we have learned that would have in any way mitigated the full power of God from expressing through you and through me. So many respects, in order to let go, we have to unlearn. We have unlearned all the ways that we have been moving through life, trying to protect our little self, instead of stepping free, liberating ourselves so that the power and the presence and the love of God can express through and as us. So one of the first steps to really effective prayer is to release, let go, and let this presence flow through and as us. I remember when I was living in Missouri, and if anyone who's lived in the Midwest knows that the Midwest has some very cold winters. And sometimes they would have a cold day, and the roads would be covered with what they call black ice. It would be a thin layer of ice that you really couldn't see, but it was very treacherous to drive on. And I remember I was driving home one day, and I was coming from my office, and we were coming at a particular place in the road where all the cars in front of me were sliding off the road into an embankment, one by one. And I could see that everybody was trying to control their car or their truck, turning left, turning right, and nobody was successful in staying on the road, at least those cars that were right in front of me. And I saw myself coming at that same point where everybody else slid off the road into an embankment. And for some reason that I cannot understand, at that very moment, I just let go of the steering wheel because I saw that trying to steer was totally useless. And you know what happened? My car just straightened up and just kept on going. And I was looking at everybody else that had slid off the side of the road and say, "See you later." Of course, I was saying it to myself. I didn't actually say it directly to them. But the point is this. Part of effective prayer is letting go. Letting go of what we think we know. Because if we're holding on who we thought we were, while at the same time praying for a magnificent life, praying for us to be an instrument of God, we create a tension like a stretched rubber band. And that rubber band will break. And then eventually we will end up finding ourselves flying into the region of transformation anyway, screaming, "You did not tell me this when I signed up for this. I thought I was involved in some kind of mind power. I thought I could visualize it and I could conceive it and then it would happen." Yes, but it was going to happen through us, through you and me, because we understand that God can only do for us what we allow this presence of God to do through us. Something within us has to change. And for us to get to that point where we're resonating with the presence, we have to remove the blockages in order to see the possibilities that are always there. Plus, moreover, I like to say that to have this expanded vision, we have got to change, and part of that change is letting go. So maybe our prayer work changes. The way that we pray changes. And we say, as I said last week or the week before, we're no longer begging and beseeching God to do anything. But we're saying, "Hey, let me see what God has created. And God is right where I am. It's all good. Let me affirm the truth." Now, the unspiritualized ego may get a little nervous when we do this. It might say, "What you doing? Whoa, that's blasphemy. You're going to get God upset. What do you mean God is right where you are? Don't say that. You better ask somebody." But the ego wants to keep the known territory together. Like I got to try to change God's mind. But when we pray aright, we pray from a consciousness of God that is changeless. We may not know exactly how it's going to turn out, but we know that God is good. And if we keep our attention on that presence, it will end up good. And so when we let go of what we think we know, that may not be so, we're ready to go within. As the psalmists say, as we go to that secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. Emily Cady, in her book, Lessons in Truth, called this secret place the meeting place of God within us, where nothing and no one or nothing else can enter. And we place our realization of our oneness with God and all that God is. It's in that secret place. And it's important for us to go there whenever we're facing challenges or difficulties or problems. Because in such moments, we want to make a beeline to the source, that secret place. You know, Charles Fillmore, after his wife Myrtle had a healing through prayer, became very curious about religion and spiritual ideas. And he says something to the effect, I can either go directly to the source myself, or this whole thing about religion is a fraud. And he began to investigate and engage in affirmative prayer and meditation and silence. He began diligently communing with the presence of God. And he came to this conclusion, that prayer is the most accelerated mind action known to humankind. It steps up our mental action until our consciousness is one with the mind of God. He said this is the language of spirit. Understand, if we wake up rearing to go every day and stillness has not become part of our day, all we've done is brought the past of our life into the now moment, spiced it up with a little imagination and our history, and then we moved in the world the same person. But prayer cleans our awareness, where we can look at prayer as a mental hygiene principle that keeps our consciousness pure, so that all that it knows are the qualities of the pure Spirit of God. Understand that all power, all of everything is found in the silence. Everything else is evidence of a spent vibration. Now, to help us get there to that secret place of the Most High and recognize the benefits of it, one of the first things we have to do is relax and forget how worried we may be at any given moment. Or as Betterworth Works points out, we're here to let go of our mental anxiety. There's a lot of people with anxiety today. But spirit can't get in if we're worried, because worry frustrates the realization of our wholeness. Many people have the congealed belief and agreement, unconsciously perhaps, that they must worry all the time. Because when they worry, they block the realization of their oneness with God. But we can interrupt that belief by entering what I call a worry-free clause, a clause in which we no longer worry. And you might want to go home today, or you're already home, I imagine, right now, because you're probably, you know, still COVID in. But you might want to just write down that I'm entering into a no-worry clause, where you and I begin to no longer worry about anything. In other words, as it says, take no anxious thought about anything that may be going on in your life or in our world today. So we're going to say in our no-worry clause, I'm going to stop worrying. You know, as Bob Marley sings in his song, Three Little Birds, don't worry about a thing. Every little thing is going to be all right. Hold those words. Because worry, as someone told me, is like paying interest on money you have not borrowed. It pays no dividends at all. Some folks have a place mark in their worry. And they come online maybe to watch something like this. They get a dose of the Spiritual Life Center experience. And they may rid their worry just for a little while, and they're cool, and they're singing their songs, or like we sang today or heard, I am that I am, or be still and know that I am God, or don't worry about a thing. But the moment they turn off their device they're watching the program on or listening from, their mind starts asking, now, what was I worried about before I tuned into this? Something was on my mind. I was worried. I know I was worried about something. And you let it go till you find it. You look for it till you find it. And then all of a sudden you say, oh, I know what it was. I know what it was. I was worried about X, Y, and Z. And sometimes we kind of believe that if we don't worry about it, whatever it is, it's not going to get handled. If we're not worried about it, then it's not going to turn out right for you and me. So oftentimes, we'll all devote more time to the worry instead of to the faith, where we're directing our energy to something good. More time to the worry than the conviction of our possibilities. More time to the worry than feeling that it's going to be all right. So I want you and I to do this, to begin to evoke a no-worry clause. Just give yourself some time through the course of your day. And whenever you start worrying, you said, go to that no-worry clause and say, I'm not going to take my worry out at all. Because some of us will get into fits and withdrawals if we do it all of a sudden. I'm not going to tell you to do it all of a sudden. Because, you know, you may end up having to go to a no-worry 12-step program. We don't have to go there. If we have to go up and show and say, you know, my name is James and I worry. It ruined my family. I was worried all the time. I stopped worrying suddenly and I lost all my friends and they don't know who I am now. So I'm not asking you to just to release it all at once. I'm just saying you can just stop. And every once in a while, give yourself a timeout. I think this is just an example of where we have been conditioned to a belief that we're supposed to worry. So we want to interrupt that belief. We want to transform that belief. Because when we have a place mark in our worry, we are absolutely preventing, we're obstructing, we're blocking, we're delaying the omniscience, the omnipresence of God working in and as our life. This all-knowing dimension of the presence of God is there for us all the time. And understand, it knows everything. But it does not know problems. It does not know concerns. It only knows what's real, what's eternal, what's indestructible. So what you're worried about is a phenomenon of our human experience, something that we need to unlearn. And that's temporary. God does not deal in the temporary. Sometimes we're trying to use an absolute law of relativity in our worry, but it's not going to work. We're going to have to amplify that which we're worried about whenever we do that. So here, the universal presence is right here in the midst of you. It knows everything. It thinks in divine ideas and perfect solutions. It thinks in terms of vision and possibilities. And so our worrying is blocking the all-knowing God from being expressed through you and as me. Sometimes we have an emotional reaction that if we think if I worry long enough, things will change. Yes, they will change. They're going to get worse. This is how they're going to change. The point is this. We've surrendered to those beliefs and we've become a self-fulfilling prophecy of negativity and lack and doubt and worry and fear. We want to let go and let the Spirit of the living God flow through and as us. We want to rest in the answer. We want to rest in the presence. You know, as I close out, ultimately, when we let go and let God, we discover the God power that is within us. You know, we're really researching the presence of God and realizing it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, which is ever-expanding good. Intuitively, we all know it's God's will for us. And our dreams of our heart and that of God for us are one in the same. So we release and let go. We go inside. We touch that secret place of the Most High. And we witness those dreams begin to reveal themselves. But we must remember the call of the universe and why we are here. We're not here just to have fun. There's nothing wrong with that. We need some fun nowadays. But we understand we're here to reveal the presence of God, and we have fun along the way. We're not just here to make money. We're here to reveal the presence of God and make money along the way. We're not here merely to accumulate and acquire materialistic goods. We're here to discover the presence of God, and we discover we get what we want anyway. Understand what is first. Seek ye the kingdom of God. See it, activate it, practice it, live it. Let it take you over. Understand when you study your genesis, which is of this presence, this force, and put your attention there. Your entire life experience, making money, right relationships, healing the body temple, figuring out how to solve the COVID-19 and the pandemic. All that stuff we're working on so hard, solutions will suddenly become second nature. And you and I will simply put our attention on the force, on the presence of God, on the Christ within. We'll accept higher possibilities in every area of our life. And then the life force will take you over. And you'll look up one day, and you'll discover that you're surrounded by the people who love you. You'll look up one day and you find that your account is not big enough to hold all the abundance that you're feeling. You'll look up one day and see that everything is working together for our individual as well as our collective good. We're not thinking about trying to make it happen. We're simply pedaling fast enough to get out of the way of it happening, because this is the way of the Spirit of the living God. Let God be God in you today. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. As we take in those words, I invite you to take this affirmation with you throughout the week, as we've been doing each week of this series. Some words that you can affirm and firm up in your awareness to keep alive this energy field. And the affirmation is as follows. I am aware. I am awake to my God potential. I rest in the consciousness of wholeness. Hold that with yourself throughout the week. God bless.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives.